Hi, this is Tiffany Montgomery from Shop Eat Surf. I recently sat down with Sanuk Global GM Magnus Wedhammer, who has been leading the brand for nearly 2 years. A surfer originally from Sweden, we talk with Magnus about the big changes he is making at Sanuk, especially when it comes to product strategy. He also tells us about Sanuk's goal to double its business in the next 5 years and how the team plans to achieve that. We discuss the state of the industry footwear market and some exciting fixture changes for the core channel that are in the works for the brand. Now, here is our conversation with Magnus. I am at Deckers headquarters talking to Magnus Wedhammer, who is the global GM of Sanuk. Thank you for sitting down with me.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being patient in my very hellish drive up here that I'm an hour late and he's still in good humor, so I appreciate that. So let's just, in case people don't know a lot about you, tell us a little bit about your background before you got here to Sanuk.
Yeah, so I started my career with Nike about 24 years ago. So I've been with the Nike family for a little over 20 years. I started in Nike Sweden, moved along over to Nike Europe, and then I ended up in Beaverton, Oregon in the early 2000s. So that was the first part of my Nike career. And then I spent the second half with the Converse brand, obviously owned by Nike, over in Boston. So that was my 20-year stint with the Nike family. And then I had a short run with the Wolverine Corporation at Sperry's. I spent 2 years with Sperry before I came over here to Sanuk.
Oh, okay. And how long have you been here now?
So I'm coming up on almost 2 years with the Deckers brand and with the Sanuk brand.
Oh, wow. That's kind of fast. I remember when you arrived. And you're a surfer.
I am a surfer. I discovered surfing later in life. I've been surfing for about 15 years and sounds a little dramatic, but it literally changed my life and my outlook on life and how I approach things, not only in life, but also at work.
Tell me about that.
Well, it slowed me down and I think it's given me perspective and I think it's kind of centered me and you know, the ocean does crazy things to you and surfing has been a great addition in my life. And it actually led me here to Santa Barbara working for Deckers and working for Sanuk.
And much warmer waters than surfing on the East Coast.
A lot warmer waters and a lot more consistency with the surf than on the East Coast, but...
So you're happy.
I'm happy.
You're a happy guy. Okay. So tell me, before you got here, what was your assessment of the Sanuk brand?
So I'll be honest, I didn't know a lot about the Sanuk brand other than I'd seen Sanuk in my local surf shop on the East Coast, Cinnamon Rainbows, which is still one of my favorite surf shops in the world. So I saw it there. I'd also paid attention to the marketing that Sanuk was doing over the years. I think they were calling it the cut and paste, and it was very unique and different. So I paid attention to that. I also knew about the Sidewalk Surfer franchise and the Yoga franchise, two iconic franchises. Once I was asked to come here, I kind of took a closer look at the brand, and I feel like one of the most authentic brands in our industry. Maybe it was not living as authentically as they could have. So that was kind of my assessment before I got here. But other than that, I hadn't been a lifelong Sanuker prior to coming here.
So when you got here and you kind of did your assessment and looked at what had gone wrong, because there were some big problems, you know, what are some key changes you've made since you've been here?
Yeah, you know, coming here, it quickly became apparent that, first of all, job number one was to assemble a brand new team. You know, with the transition from Irvine up to here, we'd lost a lot of talent and a lot of knowledge of the brand. And some might say we'd lost a little mojo. So we spent the first couple of months making sure that we had a new product team and a new brand team in place. Luckily, we got to keep a lot of the sales folks. So, you know, a lot of the people that had knowledge of the brand, Jeff Booth being one, Eric Eklund, which was really a blessing to have these guys provide the continuity that we needed. Also on the sports marketing side, Adam Walker was a guy who had a lot of knowledge and helped us through this transition. So that was great. But it also quickly became apparent that we needed to kind of write down chapter two of the Sanuk saga, you know, with a new mission and a vision, and also kind of identified the core DNA of this brand. As I was walking around up here in Santa Barbara, at Deckers the first week, it, you know, a lot of people were excited about the brand, But nobody was really able to articulate what made Sanuk different and special, because that had kind of been lost in over the last couple of years. So job number one was to assemble a team. And I'm sitting here today, 2 years later, feeling really good about the level of talent we've gotten. And sometimes it's hard to recreate mojo, but I feel like we've created a new type of mojo here. So other than that, you know, we went through chapter two, included a lot of new things. And we kind of started with a new brand platform. Because like I said, we're an authentic brand, maybe not living as authentically as we could. So we created a new brand platform that we felt needed to combine product, marketing, ambassador, brand voice under one umbrella. And I think we've accomplished that. And now we have a brand platform that's much sharper and it's much more authentic and true to the Sanuk brand. That was kind of job number one for us. On the product side, you know, we had the luxury of having not only the yoga sling, but the Sidewalk Surfer, but both of these franchises were in need of an update. You know, iconic product that hadn't been evolved fast enough. There was very little innovation on these styles. So that was kind of the center of it, to really become famous for the yoga sling and the Sidewalk Surfer again. And then having a diversification strategy that was much sharper than we had in the past. And also we, you know, after talking to a lot of our core consumers, we found that, you know, they love our brand, they're committed to our brand, they're lifelong Sanukers, but they wanted us, you know, not only between April and September, they wanted us year round. So that kind of birthed a strategy that helped de-seasonalize our business with a boot offering, with more winterized offering, without becoming a boot brand, obviously, but an offering that allowed us to stay relevant 365 days out of the year. And then we also looked at segmentation again, because we had a very big line handed to us. And what we've done is we've pretty much cut the overall SKU count in half while still maintaining, you know, the size of our business. And actually we're with the line that we have, we're actually selling more units than we did having a line that's half in size. So that was on the product side. And then on the retail side, you know, another assessment that we quickly realized was hanging footwear, and something that Sanuk pioneered back in the day, and something that was very exciting and really new to the footwear world 15 years ago. And if you fast forward to today, you know, it's not as exciting, and the kind of the luster is gone. And I called it, it's quite frankly a mess out there. So that was another thing that we got started right away, a plan to overhaul the entire Sanuk retail fleet. And that's something that's ongoing today, but we feel we made great progress in making hanging footwear interesting again.
What do you mean by the retail fleet?
So when I talk about retail fleet, I'm talking about our fixtures and the way we show up in our core surf specialty channel. You know, we had very little storytelling. We had very little brand storytelling and product storytelling. And it was not an exciting way of showing shoes. So what we've done here is we've overhauled our fixture system, and a fixture system that it's much more flexible, that allow us to tell not only brand stories, but product stories. And this is something that, you know, we worked on for the last year, and we're just about to roll out this new system in our core surf retail partners.
When will we see this show up in stores?
So we have introduced about 25 what we call happy hedges at retail already. And our key partner in the first go around here is the flip-flop shop. So we have installed over the last couple of weeks over 20 of these freestanding fixtures. And we actually replaced their current fixture with this new Sanuk fixture. So that happened, that has happened over the last couple of weeks. And we're planning to roll these out with more surf specialty distribution over the next 6 months here. And eventually, our plan or our goal is to overhaul our entire retail fixture fleet over the next 2 years.
And how is business right now?
So business is good. You know, obviously the overall marketplace is changing dramatically. And I think for us, we feel very hopeful, not only in the US, but we feel like the opportunity is, we have a tremendous opportunity to grow this brand, not only in the United States, but also around the world. So we made a strategic decision a couple of years ago to kind of take a break in our international business, but we now feel like we're ready to take on our international expansion again, because we feel like we have the right product, we have the right retail, and we have what we call a brand in a box that we're ready to export again. So, but again, the market is changing fast and business has been tough over the last couple of years. But again, we're a public traded company, so I can't give it a lot of detail, but we're very pleased with the progress we've made over the last 12 months.
So, I mean, I guess what I never understood is why did sales shrink so much? You know, this is like the past. Yeah. You know, I think it got up to like 100 million, right?
It was a little north of 100 million.
A little. And then it went like down to 70, I want to say.
I don't think it went that far down.
Yeah, not that far down. But there was, you know, a significant backward step was.
So, you know, I think some of the decline that happened was due to our international decline. And that was a planned decline. The other part of this is we closed a couple of doors, Sanuk retail stores that also has led to this. But in our core business, we have not really seen any major declines. What we're seeing is a shift in the product offering. So we've had over the last 10 years a tremendous amount of growth in our yoga mat franchise. And we've seen, and part of the decline has been due to the slowdown of the yoga mat franchise, especially the yoga sling. But we feel that's mostly self-inflicted with lack of newness, lack of innovation, and you know, lack of just new materials and color. So we are laser focused on driving newness, innovation on our number one franchise, the yoga franchise. And 2 weeks ago, or actually last week, you might have seen the first effort. So we launched a collection called the Yoga Sling Spectrum. And it sounds kind of trivial, but it's the first time we've launched colors on our footbeds and outsole of our largest franchise. So that is just the first in many initiatives we're going to have over the next 12 to 18 months to help drive business through the yoga sling and the yoga mat franchise. So it's just one of them, but it's a big one for us. And we feel really excited about this.
What has been sort of the biggest new product you've launched since you've been here? I know, I mean, footwear cycles are, you've only been here 2 years and what, they're 18 months,
It's 18 months if you come in at the right time. So most of the changes you make, it takes about 2 years from conception to the time it hits retail.
So this is just now starting. So is this like the first?
The real big coming out moment for us has been the launch that we had back in February called the Chiba Quest. And the Chiba Quest was really our attempt to drive an innovation agenda on our Sidewalk Surfer franchise. So we launched a new product called the Chiba Quest, which is built on the same principles as the original Sidewalk Surfer, but just with 21st century footwear technology. And it has been beyond our expectations, the launch we've had. It's been our number one selling style in DTC, our own channel, Sanuk.com, over the last 2 months. And this is not only a new product for us, but it's a new price point that you know, we haven't had before. It's an $85 retail price point where most of our Sidewalk Surfer ranges between $50 and $60. So not only have we proven that we can sell different price point, but people expect and they want new and innovative product for us. So just as long as we stay true to our DNA. So that was really the first product under the new platform. And I think we've also shifted from having about 15 to 17 new product stories every season to focusing on one every season. And that's proven to be a very successful strategy. And when I talk about the platform, integrating product, marketing, ambassadors, this initiative with the Chiba Quest has really been a testament to that. So not only have we been solely focused on marketing this product on our channels, social media, but we've also had our entire ambassador team supporting us with this and using their followers to help tell our story. So it's been a great shift in us. And we're planning to tell about 4 to 5 big brand product stories each year versus trying to spread ourselves across everything we do every season. And I think the Chiba Quest was the first, that the Yoga Sling Spectrum is the second, and we got many more coming here over the next couple of seasons.
So one of the things that happened in the past is like Deckers, you know, they had these big growth plans for Sanuk, right? And then they kind of wrote it down and said, we don't think it has the growth potential that we originally thought. But there's some nuance there. Can you help us understand what they meant by that?
I think, you know, when Deckers bought the brand back in 2011, you know, the brand was growing at a tremendous rate. And it's, you know, people make mistakes. And I think that the aspiration was probably a little too big. But having said that, I feel like the full potential of the Sanuk brand is not anywhere near being realized. I think what we've set out to do is to double our business over the next 5 years, which is an ambitious goal.
But like, that's all? That's, you know.
But I truly think it's doable and achievable. And I think we're going to do this in a very responsible manner. And this includes, obviously, an international expansion. But what it doesn't include, and we don't believe we have to expand our distribution in the U.S. beyond what we have today. I think we have, with new product, with a sharper marketing approach, I think we can grow our business with our existing distribution base, which is, it's important. So, but I think, you know, we've said we think we can be a global cult brand with a $200 million goal over the next 5 years.
Okay, so I have to ask you, on the heels of that, the Costco question, because the last month, every time I go to Costco, and I've been going a lot for reasons I won't get into, you know, I've seen a huge Sanuk presentation in like more than one Costco with branding and everything. Can you tell me what that's about?
Absolutely. And this is not an easy decision for us. But the reality was we had been in Costco for the last 3 years without any control of assortment, selection, timing, and pricing. So there was a lot of goods floating out there and has been over the last couple of years. So we felt like this was the strategy to work directly with Costco this time and limit the assortment to styles that were outgoing in the line. And by doing this, we were able to limit the time of this, the price, and the assortment. Because we felt like we wanted to keep the sidewalk surfers and the yoga slings away from Costco. It had been there, like I said, over the last couple of years. So that was one. The other thing is, over the last year, we have managed to reduce our overall inventory position. And in the market today, we have less than 50% of closeout and off-price business out there. So we're a much healthier position today.
It's 50% lower than it used to be. 50%
lower than we used to be. And we're looking at reducing that even more. So it is hard to find Sanuk off-price, and it will be hard to find Sanuk off-price all of this summer, anywhere you go. So it was a decision we make. We're reevaluating if we're ever doing something like this again, but it was kind of something that we had to do.
To just get rid of some stuff.
Correct.
So, but this isn't necessarily an ongoing relationship or strategy.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So it was like a temporary thing to clear.
But I think it's important to mention that, you know, like that the overall volume out there today is more than half what it was a year ago. So
right.
Obviously being in Costco, it's a much more visible proposition than being in some other closeouts. But it was, you know, again, we felt like we'd been there for 3 years, and we sometimes 6-7 times a year we showed up with any control and any input to the selection or the pricing. So
was that distributors who were making those deals, or just,
you know, you never know.
And can I ask you, going back to the international business, because I feel like I've had this conversation with many Sanuk leaders about we have so much potential internationally, you know, over the years, and it doesn't seem to materialize. Like, what's different now, I guess?
And I think we made sure that it became a key initiative for us, where we put it last in the process of things. I think 2 years ago, we probably did not have the right product selection, the right marketing, the right support to become relevant and successful internationally. So that was number one. So now we feel like we're in a position where we have the right product selection. We have the right operation in place in order to not only get the right product there, but the right support in terms of marketing materials, retail fixture, and so on and so forth. And then this time around, we're going to do it differently. We're not going to try to go into every single market. We're going to focus on key surf markets around the world that can help rebuild or activate our brand internationally. So, you know, we're looking at a lot of different places, but Australia is one that we feel like we have a great opportunity. Japan, Korea being another. The UK, Spain, Portugal, a third. So we're looking at specific market. And I think the key for us here is getting the right distributors or the right partners in order for us to do that really truly understand the surf market and the surf industry in their region. So that's, I think, is going to be the difference between past attempts and this one. And we're going to take our time here and to make sure we're doing it right. So, but that's a, for us, it's a great opportunity. Less than 5% of our business today is done outside of the United States. And if you look at some of our competitors, they have upwards of 50% of their business done outside of the US. So that is a great opportunity for us. But we want to do it the right way this time and take our time and make sure that partners are right, the strategy is right, and the support is there.
I mean, since you are a surfer, and I'm guessing you're in surf shops all the time, so who do you think is doing a good job, whether it's, you know, in any category, even in footwear?
I'd say that we're currently not in apparel in a big way. We've added a little bit of an offering in t-shirts and hats over the last couple of months to help dimensionalize our brand. But I look in some of these smaller, new and up and coming surf apparel brands that are doing a great job. I'm very impressed, not only the way they market themselves through digital, but also the quality and the newness in product. I've been very impressed.
Like who?
You know, V-Slide being one of them, you know, Brixton being another. I think there's a Salty Crew being a third. A lot of good stuff, but also that, you know, some of the smaller actual surfboard brands. My favorite is Bing. I love what they're doing. It's obviously on a smaller scale, but I think driving a different product offering, looking at things differently, will make you successful in that channel. Because doing what everybody else is doing, you know, you're probably going to lose to free shipping and overnight shipping at the end of the day. So, but you know, there's a lot of brand that I personally like, but those are a couple.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, speaking of free shipping and everything, what's your Amazon strategy, or how do you deal with that?
So yeah, it's an interesting one because they're obviously a giant, and my comment has been, avoiding Amazon is like trying to push the tide back with the broom. You know, what we can do is make sure they have the right assortment that is differentiated from what we have in our core channel. And I look at Amazon as a partner that can actually help grow our brand awareness, because, you know, they have access to hundreds of millions of consumers that probably have not heard of Sanuk. And ultimately, we hope that will drive traffic and drive business in our core channel.
Right.
So again, it's a distribution point that has taken away business, let's be honest, from some of these core shops. But I think there will be room for both going forward. But for us, we're not going to try to fight it. We're going to make sure that the assortment is the right one, they stay on price, and that they will help us grow our brand and grow our brand awareness. That's how we look at it.
The doubling the business. So in 5 years. So 5 years. What is, in 5 years? What does Sanuk look like?
I think, you know, our vision is, you know, a future successful state is to have a global $200 million cult brand, and I'm talking about a cult, not like a religious cult, but a cult like a cult movie or a cult band that has a following that is loyal. I'm also seeing a brand that has, you know, is truly famous for the yoga sling and the sidewalk surfer, and maybe not just the core that we've had over the last 15 years, but a brand that's known for innovation. And I'm not talking about this the same innovation as a Nike or Adidas would do, but that deliver unexpected product solution for both men's, women's, and kids. And kids is another one. As we're looking at our expansion strategy, we're underpenetrated in kids. It's a small part of our business, and we believe that could be upwards of 20% of our business, and it's not today. I'm also seeing a business that's thriving outside of the United States and is segmented by channel. And we don't need to do different product for every single account or every single channel, but, you know, we want to make sure that we look and feel the same everywhere, but are tailoring our assortment to each channel of distribution.
Yeah, okay. And I guess my last question is, there was lots of drama around the whole shareholder, you know, activist shareholder thing. Are they going to sell? Are they going to sell Sanuk? That's all sort of put to bed at this point.
Yes, it's put to bed. And I think from a learning perspective, looking back at it, it was a very interesting experience for all of us. I tell you though, at the end of the day, we came out with a share price that's double that it was a year ago. And I think we got our strategy in a much better place. In our strategy today at the corporate level is much more buttoned up than it was 2 years ago. And I think that's all thanks to what we went through last year. But we feel pretty darn good about the future, not only of Deckers, but with Sanook. So, but it was an interesting time, to say the least.
It was, I guess. Well, I don't have any more questions unless there's anything I didn't ask you that you want to add.
The only thing that I'd like to add is, you know, making sure that we stay true to who we are. I think that's how we see success. We outlined a mission statement, and this was something that Jeff Kelly said, you know, when he was still with the brand, and to be the outfitter for the journey to your happy place. And that has really been our guiding star over the last 18 months, anything from creating a product campaign to a brand campaign. And for us, that's been absolutely key. Also, rediscovering the core DNA of this brand has been something that has helped guide us and stay sharp, and then adding a level of innovation and really harboring Jeff Kelly's inventive spirit in everything we do, especially when it comes to new product. And I think that's ultimately is what is going to get us to our vision and our five-year plan.
Okay, great. That plan, that's quite a plan.
Quite a plan.
No pressure. Okay, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find previous podcast interviews on our website under the podcast tab. Thank you also to our sponsors and to our Executive Edition members. We appreciate each and every one of you.